Welcome to the Road Back podcast.
We're so glad you're here. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Desiree. We're two trauma-informed coaches and real-life friends.
If you're returning to yourself, your dreams, or your sense of belovedness, this podcast is for you.
We'll pull from our own stories and hard-earned wisdom to support your journey.
So take a breath and remember,
you belong exactly as you are. Welcome, welcome to the Road Back podcast.
Woohoo!
Here we are. We're doing it again.
Episode two, baby.
You know, there's nothing like the joy of an accomplishment here. So exactly. I'm proud of us.
Yeah.
I'm proud of us too. This is so fun because I really wanted to start by talking a little bit about the name, The Road Back, and how we processed that together and really landed on that name. I know for me, the dream of having a podcast is something I didn't articulate or even let myself connect to very much, but I've had this dream for at least 7 or 8 years. And in this process of us going back and forth and dreaming, I found a document on my computer called Podcast Names, What's in a Name? And when I found it, I was amazed to see this younger version of me getting this moment where I was doing the thing that I've always wanted to do.
Yes. Here's to dreams fulfilled.
Yeah. So beautiful. And sometimes they take a while.
Yeah, very much. And it actually reminds me, I did not know about this dream that Des had. I didn't know anything about her Google Docs until I think we were in the process of naming the podcast.
True.
And did you remember that you had that doc in your computer?
I found it in the work of what we were doing, just going back and forth and sharing, and I typed a search or something and it came up, and as it had the date from 2018, I thought, oh my goodness.
That is wild.
Yeah.
The crazy thing was, is last year I had no idea about Des's desire to do a podcast, and I reached out to her via DM one day because we were friends, but we didn't know each other as well as we do now. And I had this wave of inspiration one day, and it wasn't even specifically about a podcast. I just wanted to collaborate with her on something. So I DM'd her and said, hey, girl, I'm just letting you know it would be super fun to work together with you on something sometime. I'm just putting it out there. I don't know when, don't know how, but just wanted to let you know it's on my radar. Maybe we should collaborate on something in the future. And little did we know this is where we would end up.
First of all, you were so brave for doing that. I'm just like, wow, like what a gutsy move that she made to reach out. And in 2024, I was like, I don't see it right now. I had a kid who's graduating and moving away, and there's a lot going on. And then the bravery again to check in 2025, and then how for the both of us, it felt like the way forward was collaboration. Yeah. And I think this is something I've heard you say often. Sometimes your next step maybe needs to be together or with somebody. Mm-hmm. So that was.
And so here we are.
The podcast was born.
And I didn't know it would be a podcast at first. I had had a desire to do a podcast for a few years. But I knew intuitively I'm probably not going to have the guts to start it myself. Yeah. I know I'm going to need to do it with somebody else, but I just had no idea who that person was going to be. And so just goes to show you can have desires and dreams in your heart for a season or even years sometimes. But it's when those right ingredients and situations come together and it just gels. Yeah. It feels right time and right place and right people right now, which is wonderful.
So good. And then the journey of figuring out the name, I remember it feeling like a sitting with who the listener was going to be. And the invitation that we were feeling in our hearts of what was the invitation that we were wanting to offer for the listener. Anything you remember about that process for you and how we got to this name?
It was a process, wasn't it?
It sure was.
We took weeks, if not a couple of months, to land on the name. And it felt important, which was beautiful in the sense that we were in the middle of the naming process when Des found the doc on her computer, which was all about what's in a name. And that for me was an extra confirmation that it's worth taking the time to land on something that felt right. We circled over all sorts of things, and we were searching for a name that wasn't already used for a podcast. We toyed with the idea of names around gathering around a table because hospitality is so important to both of us. We looked at the name Homecoming and variations of Homecoming because we knew it wanted to encapsulate a journey, because so much of our connection, even as friends, has been around our similar journeys into emotional health and spiritual health and reconnecting to our hearts. Yes. And the healing process. And because we both value that so much, we knew we wanted it to feel invitational, like a space of belonging. But landing on the name, there were so many things that we threw out that were good, but not quite right. Is that how you would have described it too, Des?
Yeah. And I think too, doing something in a pair or with another person is a completely different dynamic. So I feel really proud of us because we allowed that time to be there, and we didn't feel anxious, and we didn't feel like we needed to rush, and we didn't feel like we needed to force anything. And even the journey for me of figuring out what was the right name was a gift and a path in itself. And so I know we both talked about this, of when the road back landed, it actually physically landed. It was this understanding that we have now, or I'll speak for myself, of this is the right thing. Like the knowing of a thing, it's like, oh, this is what we've been waiting for. How about for you, hon?
Yeah. When I mentioned the road back to you, something in me was going, yes, 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 yes. And when you said yes, 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 it just felt like it clicked. And as someone who on my own healing journey, I've learned to tune into that inner guidance, GPS, Holy Spirit intuition system more and more over the years, I now know what that internal body yes feels like. And so when it clicked for me, I was hoping it would click for you, but also was fine if it's like, hey, if we need to go around this mountain a little bit more. But I did know that it had never clicked before that title. Yeah. And I feel like the road back really encapsulates so much of what we're wanting to create here for both ourselves and our listener and the experience overall.
Exactly. How would you describe what the phrase road back means to you, even on like a macro level of like this overall broader view? Because it resonated in our bodies. It resonated with us so much, and with that ideal listener that we had imagined and prayed for and hoped for and loved in advance. So,
such a good question. Feels like something we could unpack over so many conversations.
It's true. Who knows? We probably will.
Thus the title.
Totally.
The road back for me, I would say on a broad level, has really encapsulated the last 10 to 15 years of my life in a really big way, because that's 10 to 15 years ago was when I really got serious about digging into my own mental, emotional health on a new level. I had always dabbled and been interested in that kind of thing even before then. I've always been fascinated by human behavior and by psychology and by personal development. And all those things have always been a part of my life just because I've always loved the topic and studying those topics. But for me personally, about 15 years ago, I hit my own walls, and I had those crashing moments, collision moments, where I realized I just couldn't go on any further at the way I had been going. And so gathering resources, putting myself back into the place of I am valuable and I need to prioritize myself again became very important. And the road back has really been a journey of me reconnecting to the process of my true identity, remembering who I was even as a young child before pain and trauma and life happened, and being intentional about choosing to engage in the process. It feels like a journey. It's been an ongoing journey of health, of healing, of reclaiming my voice, reclaiming my worth, understanding who I am truly versus what all the labels or things were from external sources, even returning to the place of leaning inward to discover what to do next, finding that place of permission, whereas I had spent so much of my life looking externally for permission and waiting for external validation before I felt like I could do anything. The road back has really been a lot of returning to myself.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Mm. I just resonate so much with it. And I loved how you timestamped it, just to give me and the listeners a sense of this. As I was hearing that, I thought, oh, I think my road back was shorter. I've only been on it for 5 years. But then I had a moment where I was like, you know, the whole entire journey gets to matter in the road back. It's like, even though you had said this word intentional, even though I probably didn't realize what was happening. And I think that that's how I would think of why the road back resonates with me is we are created like these divine, beautiful, authentic identities that are completely loved and completely safe. And then the experience of our humanity and families of origin and trauma and things that we didn't plan on, that's for sure a part of a humanity. And then the ways we coped with them. I'll speak for myself, like the ways I managed and survived those experiences, they become versions of me and parts of me that are really important. They can sometimes overshadow this really authentic, original design. Mm-hmm. And so the road back, like even as I was hearing you say, it feels the similar to me is it's the returning to that part, to that heart, to that identity. It's remembering. I know you use that word. Yes. It's like remembering who she is. It's like rediscovery in a lot of ways. It's not that.
So true.
Yeah. It's not that I've never known it. It's just I may have forgotten about it. Right?
Yes.
So it's a rediscovery. Mm-hmm. I just think that overall, even the language of the road back excites you to that sense of home. And the sense of belonging to yourself, that my journey has really, that's been the gift of being a pilgrim on this path and being an intentional partaker and intentional and understanding and viewing it as a gift for my life.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that you used the word pilgrim. Tell me, what does that word mean to you? Because that feels like such a unique choice of words and not something that necessarily all people would use. Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about what that word means to you.
This is
because pilgrims are on journeys.
Yes.
So yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah, I think I've always identified, and this is what's interesting, even before my deep collision, everything sort of fell apart and I just couldn't do life the way I was doing it before. But I just resonated with it. There's a little bit of a gypsy. So my husband tells me it's a little bit of a wanderer, a little bit of a person who just understands that in this life, one of my purposes, and I would say this is becoming one of my core beliefs, is my purpose is to learn. My purpose is to learn along the way. It's the belief that my life is the invitation. It is, there isn't a goal, but that what is now is the gift. And so I think that the word pilgrim encapsulate that and probably a mystical kind of a way. Such a good question. How would you say in this current season of your life, Mel, that you're on a road back? I feel like we just talked about this larger view of this larger journey. And what do you think is that micro season or the micro invitations for your road back right now, hun?
I would say a couple of things come to mind. First is really the season of motherhood that I'm in right now. I have two teenagers plus a preteen, and just navigating teen life and sports and school and all the things going on that come with a very busy life as a mother, as a wife, as all the homemaker, as well as building my business and starting this podcast with you. It's a place where I'm really working on navigating the tension between taking time for things that mean a lot to me, that light me up and allow me to build some of the things that I've been sitting on, even as we talked about the podcast, things that we've been thinking about or have been in our hearts for years, creating space for that, as well as finding the balance between the responsibilities and the home life and finding a path through that feels authentic, that feels right-sized. It isn't always clear, and sometimes things feel out of balance, but finding a place for my authentic expression and setting an example for my kids that this is what it can look like to have a mom who is committed to her health, to her growth. That feels really important to me because I want to hand my kids a legacy that builds upon my parents handed me some great things, but I want to build on that and actually hand to my children something else so that my ceiling becomes their floor, so to speak. And that feels really important to me. And I know that in other seasons where I've sacrificed things that were important to me because motherhood felt like it was center stage, that doesn't feel like this season. And the road back feels like a place where I'm forging a path where I get to have things that light me up while also making space for the things that light my family up and help them as well. So that's what initially comes to mind for that. How about you, friend? What would you call that path for you?
That's so powerful, and I resonate so much with it. As you were saying that, I could reflect that probably in other times of your life, it felt like one or the other.
Yes.
And now you're...
Either or.
Yes, yes. And now it's like forging is like holding hands with both mm-hmm. this really important aspects of motherhood and also nurturing what makes your soul come alive besides motherhood. So just wanted to notice that
so
together.
True. Mm, thank you.
Yeah. You know, similarly, as I sat with this, I could tell that in my motherhood, I am in doing new things that feel incredibly challenging. Launching children into adulthood, I am like, what is this life of mine? I think the invitations inside of this new phase of motherhood feels very similarly to giving birth in a lot of ways, because it's a lot of letting go. It's a lot of just letting the process happen.
Yeah.
And there are things that I'm obviously connected to inside the process of delivering a baby, but there's a lot of letting go. Mm. And there is a lot of, I can't call it, energy inside of it and acknowledgement. Like, I've never done this before. And probably with each subsequent kid that I launch, I'm like, well, I've never launched this kid before, but I've never done this. I've never been at this space. And so creating compassion and safety to be in there helps me accept all the changes. Mm. And similarly to what you're saying, there's so much beauty in it. And there's a lot of sadness that everything's changing. Yeah. So it's a really powerful time that I'm feeling deeply connected to supporting my heart and supporting the meanings and the things I'm telling myself about what's happening. So that feels really intentional. This next one feels a little bit vulnerable, but honestly, just getting older as a woman, like it's all happening at the same time. The kids are becoming adults and my body is changing a lot, and just the way it feels and my capacities are different. And so it feels like a deep invitation. It's like a deep road back to how can I honor that my body is fundamentally good?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
How do I accept
so good
what's happening as for me? Mm-hmm. Whoa, that I can feel that. I could feel the resistance when I said this, because this is that road back invitation for me. Yes. How can I get comfortable and safe in this changing body, this aging body, and to do it with grace and with kindness and gentleness and love? I have two daughters, so what would that look like for them to see their mother doing that?
I love that you use the word invitation, because a true invitation allows you to opt in or opt out.
Yeah.
And you're feeling, like you said, the resistance or the invitation to, I could say no if I want to.
Yeah.
And for so much of our lives, we did say no. I mean, self-abandonment was my default.
Mm-hmm.
The invitations to truly care for myself, I would often turn down, not even consciously a lot of the time.
Same.
But I love that you said, hey, I feel the invitation and what that means in this season. We're learning constantly to love ourselves more and more, no matter where we're at physically, emotionally, spiritually, all the things.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful.
And it's this belief as a pilgrim that my right now life possesses everything I need for a connection that I desire for myself, that I desire for God, and that I desire for the world around me. My right now life possesses all of that. Yeah. To me, that's very abundant.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. It's very safe.
Breadcrumbs. What in this journey of reconnecting, returning to yourself, incorporating, integrating, what are some of the key moments, significant events, even books, resources that have helped you in this journey that led you into the path back to yourself?
Yeah. Wow. This, I feel tender just thinking about some of these breadcrumbs, because I think initially for me, in my big collision moment or my big collapse of the way I had been running my life up until that point, the way I'd been surviving just stopped working. I would say the number one thing that I was confronting was my body, because I had a lot of physical illness. Well, I can say this now, that my body saved me by her saying, enough is enough. We can't go on like this. At the time, I did not believe that. So it felt very out of control to be very ill, having been diagnosed with autoimmune disease at that time. The very nature of autoimmune is that your body's attacking itself.
Yeah.
And if there could be any clearer mirror of the way I had been living to that point, it was my body was mirroring to me of the internal state inside of me. So,
yeah.
So I'd say my first breadcrumb was actually caring for my body. And that was radically different than the way I had been taught women do. And even I had a lot of spiritual things that were just really wrapped up in what does it mean to get sick or to slow down or not produce. And so being ill and not being able to hardly do anything, like embracing that and searching my health back was what I would say one of the first breadcrumbs. And in all that time, because I couldn't even work, I thought I was going to die. So I was laid up. I started listening to some podcasts, believe it or not. And I got connected to an emotional health podcast, The Connected Life, with our good friends and teachers, Justin and Abby Stumvall. Just hearing them articulate some internal and emotional world language of how to get connected, I started to follow those breadcrumbs towards my emotions and towards my internal world. And so I signed up for one of their courses and then loved it so much and then ended up applying for their school. And I think that that's the trajectory of the course of those breadcrumbs of this journey and how I find myself here today.
That's beautiful. Yeah. And it's how our worlds collided.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's how
because
I met
of some world. Yes. It's how we collided as well, which is amazing. And linking arms with people on a similar path and a similar journey makes such a difference in that healing process.
Absolutely.
And I love how our bodies, despite what we put them through sometimes, they still communicate with us at all times.
Yeah. It's true.
Sometimes it just gets a little louder than others when we're not.
Yeah.
We don't always hear the messages right away, but thank God for the volume getting turned up bit by bit in different forms, sometimes not in fun ways, but still alerting us to what is actually going on and calling our attention, always drawing us back to healing.
Yeah. And I would even say that's part of the integration, because I think in that time when my body was doing that, I felt like it was against me. And it was a part of me that it was resisting and disassociating from. I mean, that was like my full-time job. So I had to land back inside of myself in order to be in the wreckage of what was going on. But I think part of the integration is seeing my body as wise or good or an advocate or a friend. And that she did what she did because she loved me. So as you were saying that, I said, I think that feels like a road back moment of a lot of integrating of different parts, too.
That's really beautiful. And it's like a reframing of seeing our body as the enemy to actually an ally. Feels really powerful.
Yeah, thank you. How about for you, friend? What would you name as your breadcrumbs in this road back?
I feel resources, well-timed resources coming across my path, definitely at opportune moments, at moments when I most needed them. I came across some teachings on the heart years ago from a biblical basis, but whereas a lot of different church teachings I'd heard for years painted our hearts in a negative light. There's actually hundreds of scriptures in the Bible that refer to our hearts in a positive light. And hearing a more balanced teaching on the heart and reconnecting to that inner part of me, that was a big deal. Those teachings guiding me to that place was a massive deal in me learning to reconnect to the inner voice and even the voice of God internally and beginning to prioritize that over some of those external voices and the external shoulds and musts and have tos. I would also say a couple of other resources. A few years ago, I remember Brené Brown coming across my path. Her book, The Gifts of Imperfection, was huge for me, as well as another book called Present Over Perfect by Shauna Nyquist. That book rocked my world. I remember when Present Over Perfect came across my path, I was in a season where I was needing to learn how to rest. And I just felt everywhere I turned, it was, you need to rest, you need to rest, you need to rest. And one of my biggest takeaways from that book was, just because I can doesn't mean I should. And that was like a, it went so deep and I needed to hear it a few times. It didn't just sink in the first time. And I've actually read that book multiple times since, but it has been an anchor for me in remembering that I can have a capacity sometimes where I could do lots and lots and lots of things, but that doesn't mean that that is what I should be doing. And learning to say yes and tuning in, even like you said, back to the wisdom of our bodies, tuning into that sense of yes or no, tuning into just the nuance of sometimes how something will hit you. How does a person hit you? How does a situation, when an opportunity comes across your path, rather than just my default, oh yes, I don't have anything on that day, so I should say yes, or oh, I'm not that busy, I could fit something else into my schedule. Taking a step back and checking in with my heart, checking in with my capacity. And all that has come in the journey of growing in self-awareness, growing in understanding. When I was very disassociated from my body, I didn't know what it was saying a lot of the time.
For sure.
And so coming back to going, oh, actually, this is a no. And I have this mantra that I use. I've heard other people say it before, and I've taken it on board. And it's this: when new opportunities come across my path, I check. And if it's not a hell yeah, it's a no. That is my mantra. And if I don't feel a full-bodied yes, I already have so much, even just with parenting and life. I want to be selective about what I say yes to, so I can say yes from a wholehearted place rather than just yes because I could technically fit it into the schedule. And
wow.
And the satisfaction that I feel now with the things that I'm saying yes versus potentially building burnout or even resentment because I've picked up too much,
so good,
has been a really big deal for me. And I don't get it perfect.
Oh.
But I am much better at tuning in, and I'm much more comfortable with saying no than I used to be. And those breadcrumbs and just those books, those resources, it's all part of the process. And good consultants or therapists or counselors have definitely been
money well spent.
Shout out to Shout out to you.
You know who you are. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I've actually heard you use that phrase so much, and it's, you embody it so well. You know, I was just thinking that in terms of resources, you know, and breadcrumbs, I think that connecting and going back to school and being in the Stumball world and meeting people like you, it was extremely healing for the shameful parts of me to be witnessed while I was messy and healing. So that shame piece was such a big part of my life. That community really was something I needed on my road back. Mm-hmm. And then I would, you know, just relationships and, you know, meeting and bearing witness to your embodied journey has been a huge gift. And understanding, I'm going to even use this language, like my authentic self, more of my authentic self by seeing your authentic parts. I can see mine, if that makes sense. It's like a mirroring that I think happens inside communities that's so rich. So
Yes. I would say that even back to you. I feel like there's been parts of you that have been even more on display than I've allowed parts of me to. And I've seen you do it. And I think, oh, yes, I have permission. I think when we're in the community, like you said, community of other people collectively pursuing health and wholeness and healing and getting to be with one another in the messy bits. That was a huge thing. You spoke about shame. Something that was huge for me was seeing other people be messy after so many years of thinking I'm not allowed to be messy in front of others.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then seeing other people and being surrounded by love and realizing, oh, I love this person in this place. I'm not rejecting them.
Yeah.
Maybe I can be loved in my mess as well.
Mm-hmm. In my perspective, this feels like a very applied gospel of grace moment where it's just like, right? This is like the tangible grace where you're noticing their vulnerability, the humanity of them, and how much love you have towards that experience and that part of them. It really helps build the capacity that I have to allow that humanity to be a part of my mm-hmm. story and to apply grace and compassion and so many other things to my story. And so there was a lot of, you know, this is such a funny word that I say, like a synergy of that. It's a shared energy that we get to have, which I think is what love is.
I love that.
I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, love is, it's not singular. It's shared. I believe that God is love. And so just communing with it is a very communal experience in itself. When I commune with love, you can commune with love. And it's really special. It's been extremely healing to tune in to those aspects. They have become huge breadcrumbs and resources for me.
Even you saying that, it leads me to ask you along the lines of how has your view of God in your healing journey, are there aspects of your relationship with Jesus, aspects of your relationship with God, viewpoints on maybe the way you saw God or religion or the church? What are some ways that that might have changed over these last years in as you've gone on the journey back to yourself?
Oh, this is such a good question. I often believed that God had one way for my life to look. And so there was a lot of things that were off limits in that way. Honestly, I'm not sure what that way was, but I knew that there was a lot of ways I was failing it, if that makes sense. So this perspective that either God was waiting for me to figure it out or get smarter or quit screwing it up, that has definitely shifted in the sense where I'm like, God is so for me being in process. He is deeply present to my humanity. Mm-hmm. He knows I'm a human even more than I understand that I'm a human. He's got this down. This doesn't surprise him. And so believing that the road back process originated from his heart towards me, that has been a huge change where I had once viewed the burnout that I quit ministry, I lost friends, I almost lost my life, I pretty much almost lost everything. I viewed that as a disgrace. I viewed it as shame. I viewed it as an indicator that I hadn't met that mark, that God had put that path, that thing that he wanted me to do. And so now to believe that he's in the journey and that he's right down in the muck and the mire and the messy of this journey, the good, the bad, the ugly, it is transformed the connection to him and also just safety to really lean into this process, this journey, this road back. Yeah. How would you articulate the transformation of your understanding of God?
I feel like these could be a few episodes on their own.
Yeah, they probably will be.
Totally. Here's a couple of things. First, Jesus is a lot kinder than I thought he was.
Oh, yeah.
It almost makes me feel emotional because he's actually really kind.
Yeah, he is.
And rather than impatiently stomping his foot that we're not already where we're supposed to be, like you just said, I see him rolling up his sleeves and just saying, yeah, we can get into this. I'm not afraid of hard work. I'm not afraid of your mess. There's nothing that we can possibly show up as or state that we can show up as that he's not going to meet us with love and compassion. And I think my ability to be honest with him, he knew what was going on inside of me, but I was too afraid to share what was going on. And so there's a level of real in my relationship with him that definitely is shifted. And something else that really impacted me somewhere along the way, I realized that if I was trying to build a kingdom because it was all about bring the kingdom, build the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That's what I want to do. That's what I'm here for. This is what I want to be about. But I realized at one point that if I wasn't tending well to me, I am a part of the kingdom. And if I don't take care of me, then there's a part of the kingdom that I'm actually neglecting. I'm not an expendable piece of the kingdom. I'm not meant to be chewed up and spat out in the process. I am meant to build, but in the building of the kingdom, I'm building myself as well. It's not a mutually exclusive thing. It's not me or that.
Yeah.
It's both. And so recognizing that I'm a part of the kingdom too. And if I wouldn't speak unkindly to another brother and sister or somebody else that I'm wanting to bring life to, if I can't speak kindly to me, but I'm going to speak kindly to them, there's a dissonance here that needs to be reconciled. And so that has been a really big deal. That was a really big shift for me. I'm a part of the kingdom too. And I think the final thing I would say is I've realized how much God trusts me. One of those things I really have heard him say again and again is, Melissa, I trust you more than you trust yourself. And that has been an ongoing process for me. Again, back to the reference of looking externally for guidance and validation all the time. And am I on the right path? And am I doing the right thing? Whereas recognizing that he has placed his spirit inside of me, I actually can look inward for the answers. And yes, get confirmation at times from other things, but that's not my default anymore. Learning to trust myself and learning to trust what I'm hearing and the directions I'm feeling guided to go, that's been a really big deal for somebody who has grown up as a people pleaser and wanting to make sure I didn't rock any boats. I wanted to get it right and make sure everybody was happy with me at all times. And yeah, that's been a big deal.
That's
yeah.
Huge. I mean, thinking through in a felt feeling type of a way, being able to trust yourself creates an environment where you're safe in your life. Yeah. You're safe to be you.
Mm-hmm.
Fundamentally, you're going to have what you need.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's so good. I mean, it's a radical shift. I could feel that. And I would echo that. And yeah. I loved what you said and how you articulated about the kingdom. And I just think that there's so many clients that I meet, especially Christian women. And it's almost like we have a false theology of self-hatred.
Yes.
That somehow if I hate me, I can actually lift up another. And that's honoring to God. And mm-hmm. I just remember when Papa told me, kind of similar, but it's a slightly different language. When I was a missionary, full-time missionary at 18 years old. And so I was very oriented towards the 99, so to speak. I was very oriented towards his people. And he told me, Des, you're the one. You're the one I want you to love. I want you to go after her. I want you to find her and love her and embrace her and nurture her. And so that really helped the buy-in for me. This is his heart.
Yes, you're allowed to.
Yes, it was the permission. The mm-hmm. shepherd is the ultimate permission. He's given me permission to be on this journey, to follow the breadcrumbs, to be on the road back to myself. It really matters. So that was a huge breadcrumb moment for me when I felt that as a huge marker in my journey and created a lot of safety for me to be in the process.
Oh, so good. And just the permission, I'm really sitting with what you said there. Having Jesus give you permission. I feel like the journey of permission has been a big deal for me. And back to talking about Brené Brown, I remember one of her books, she talks about writing permission slips for herself. I remember reading that and thinking, oh, yes, I can write permission slips for myself. And I've done it sometimes. I give myself permission because it is part of that process of, I think, taking our autonomy back and learning that I can have a say. I actually get to say yes or no. And I mean, that opens up so many conversations. Do I actually get to say no? Do I actually get to say
so
yes?
So many things. Yeah.
And that permission granted process, I can see that thread woven through, and it continues to weave through my life. New levels where I realize that I'm still holding back, not because there's anything wrong or I'm doing anything wrong. And there's just an internal, maybe I'm not allowed to, but when I look at it and I think, well, No, I am. It is yes. And God will show me if it's no. But I start with the light is green analogy. The light is green until it's red. It's not the light is red until it's green.
Oh, such a powerful
and
shift.
Moving forward and leaning into that place of actually let's move forward until we have given a reason to not. That has been a big shift for me. And still something that I'm learning. The concept of permission, and even just you mentioning the ladies you've worked with, I feel that like that really weaves through a lot of Christian women, but maybe women in general.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The way we were raised.
Yeah, I agree. So what permission would you leave our listeners today, wherever they may find themselves on the journey of their road back? Any permission that you're thinking?
I would say you have permission to say yes, permission to say no. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. You have permission to take your time. You have permission to not know the answer. You have permission to write yourself permission slips.
So good.
I want to hear, what would you give the listener permission to as well? What's bubbling up in your heart for them?
Oh my goodness. Well, I was thinking something that I really needed to hear often was, you have permission to not know how this is going to turn out and to still believe that you're loved. And you have permission to believe that people want to be with you and care about what's happening wherever you find yourself in this journey. I really feel that a lot. Yeah, you're not alone. You're definitely not alone.
Oh, it's a joy. It's a joy to do this with you. It's a joy to virtually do this with our listeners.
Yeah.
And here's to lots more permission for good things in the future.
Yes. Yes, we're journeying with you, friends. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.